Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
That's a tie? What are we, true, in Europe? Like, what?
Soccer? Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah. No, dude, why? Why are we doing? No. No. Absolutely not. All right. Well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of shit was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
on
wow.
Show,
maybe no, I have the talent. Is that what we find out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I am your host, Ryan Dangle. If you want to find me on Twitter, some people call it X. I don't. You can find me at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. Folks, we got a special episode with some awesome guests. We're going to be looking behind enemy lines around the NFC North with some of our very good friends that like to cheer for other teams. I'm going to bring with me onto the stage. His name is Jack Wright, and you want to follow him on Twitter/X. It is at Bear Down Jack. Jack, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, man. Summertime, live music. I think maybe I've been imbibing too much. How about you?
I have been enjoying my summer. I forget who it was, but someone goes, clearly it is summertime because you're not as glow in the dark as you usually are. That would be my complexion. So, buddy, just because I have to tell you this story. So wifey and I are like, you know what happens when you got little kids. Sometimes you're like, I'm not making dinner. I'm not washing another 800 dishes of cups and plastic and doing all this other stuff. So wife's like, I got it. There's this brewery that's right by us, Church Street Brewery in Itasca. Awesome brewery, right? We're going to go. We get there. We're like, all right, cool. Kids are starting to lose their mind. That's okay. We get there. We walk in. The lights are off. Kind of funky. That's different. And they're like, sorry, kitchen is closed today. Kids are at the breaking point, right? We're like, okay, not so good. You know, that's okay. My head is hurting. Why is my head hurting, Jack? You should ask me why my head is hurting.
Why was your head hurting, Artie?
Because I almost had to go to the emergency room before we got there. We're like, before we go to the restaurant, we got to stop at a park, right? So let's do this. We're stopping at a park. My nine-month-old is crawling everywhere, so I decide to put her on the playset, right? And I'm going to jump on the playset and like chase after her, not realizing that there's a giant metal bar right here. Bam! And I mean, dude, like knocked myself out for a second. As a man who's had five or six concussions, I know what that feels like. This was not it, but it was pretty darn close. So now I've got a giant headache. The food is closed. Every restaurant around the area is closed. Daughters are losing it. It was a day. It was a day. So
how did you decide not to go to the ER? I mean, that I've done that where you're going full bore, right? Like chasing her and then just whack, right?
Oh yeah. Oh dude. It was like, you could hear a crack. Like, and I was just like, oh man. I think just, you know, again, from having so many concussions, I was like, this is, and I'm fine today, sore as hell, but just, it was not fun.
Oh, buddy. Hey, wear protective gear. That's my suggestion.
Who knew that having children could be, you know, could be so dangerous. Yeah, Brujas 7, way to put yourself in a protocol. Should have done that. Jack, I'm so excited to talk to our guests today. Let's thank some people and then let's get to it. What do you think? Sound like a plan?
Absolutely. Let's do that.
All right. So for all of you who are checking us out on YouTube, you're looking at a brand new, beautiful graphic made by our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. For all of you audio only listeners, keep doing what you're doing. We love it. But make sure you come by, check us out on YouTube. Make sure you hit subscribe, you hit like, all that sort of stuff. I can't say enough wonderful stuff about our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. So attention, Chicagoland investors and business owners, need commercial real estate expert. Look no further than our guy, Jeff Cadwallader with SVN Landmark Commercial Estate in Geneva. With generations of experience, Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties for all of your commercial real estate needs. Trust Jeff Cadwallader. Visit jeffcre.com or call 630-254-4734 today. If you do happen to talk to Jeff Cadwallader, let him know the guys of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Say hello.
Artie, I am headed to see our guy Will on Thursday afternoon. A fresh cut. I'm going to go to Naperville, Hensel's Barbershop, which is located in downtown Naperville since 1966. There are 6 barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. They're accepting walk-ins and appointments. You can go to henselsbarbershop.com. Ryan, I realize I probably just screwed up your graphics. I apologize. Or you can go to Wheaton, where Sheridan's Barbershop is located in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois. And they've been serving the community since 1954 with 6 barbers. Sheridan's is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. They have appointments available to book online or by phone at your convenience. You can go to sheridansbarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137 and book yours today. Sheridan's and Hensel's Barbershops, where traditional meets modern.
So here's the thing, dude. We've been doing this podcast for a while now. And before we were the Bear Down Chicago podcast, we were with another podcast. And that's when we developed this relationship with our guys at Roar of the Lions. Now, I say this every single time that I talk to them. I wish they cheered for the Bears because then we could talk a lot more often than we do. But we get to talk a couple times a year. And beyond just being crazy knowledgeable, they're really good dudes. I'm going to bring on Matt, the man, the myth, the legend from the Roar of the Lions. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good. I owe you a huge apology. We were trying to get together when the draft happened, but dude, I mean, you hear with little kids, I'm like, oh, I got plenty of time. And then it disappears in an instant. And so I'm sorry, man, we couldn't make it happen.
No worries at all. I know you have small kids and being a teacher, like, you had 2 or 3 hours sleep, I think it was, and it's like, yeah, I can see it. That's fair.
Yeah, it's never a dull moment. So, okay, before we get into talking all things Lions, which I am very excited to get your thoughts, and it's so different, right? Like, things have changed. The narrative around the Lions are they are the cream of the crop right now in the NFC and in the NFL. Period. I do want to just take a moment. What you have built with Roar of the Lions is absolutely incredible. Can you just, like, really quickly just kind of tell us, why did you decide, you know, being a UK Lions fan to start this thing that's blown up?
It's a long story, but I'll try and cut it short. I mean, during COVID, my girlfriend was annoyed at me talking about the NFL all the time. So tried to get me to talk to someone else about it. And it just happened that there was a group of Lions fans all going through COVID, all in the UK, who I think had a similar experience. So we all started talking together about it on Zoom calls. And then eventually someone said, why don't you do a show? So we did a show. And I mean, from there, it's just a lot of graft, right? You've got to do the research. If you're from the UK, no one's going to take you seriously if you're going to do it half-assed. You've got to do your research because you can't be there physically. So you've got to be the most well-researched person to be taken seriously. And I mean, some of that's it, but some of it's just about enjoying the game. And actually, I think that my knowledge of the game has gone from being a somewhat casual fan to knowing that I've got to speak about it. So then you're noticing the little things which you actually are, I can say about that. And we've developed a great community. I mean, finding apps like Discord and that sort of thing that really kind of foster a great relationship with some of your viewers. And yeah, I mean, one of the things we do that's great is every year, apart from this year because of the draft, we do a draft show where we try and bring on a fan from every team live during the draft, and we do about 24 hours worth of programming during the weekend. It's insane trying to even get one person on, so getting 31 others is really tough, but it's one of my most fun things because then we get to develop relationships like this, and that's maybe the most fun thing of the whole thing.
You're a very humble guy, but I know Jack has said this multiple times. Sorry, Jack, if I'm stealing your thunder. You know your stuff, Nat. And I just, you know, I mean this is you should really just be incredibly proud of what you built because it's incredible, dude. You've done a phenomenal job with it. And I'm so thankful that we get to continue this relationship. Now that I've said some nice things, it's time to talk a little bit of shit about each other's teams. And so I could see that we've already got some trash talk started. So Anne Fitzpatrick's greetings from the UK. Matt, you're being so nice. Now let's talk Lions, huge gap, and Bears. I want to actually start with this one because I think this is interesting. You know, we made fun of him a lot for his introductory press conference, but let's talk about what makes Dan Campbell, how has he changed the narrative? How has he been such a phenomenal coach?
I think there's several things here. I think one of the biggest is that he is an exceptionally clever and smart football coach. And I think that people overlook that when they see the rah-rah mentality that they see in press conferences and the first press conference you alluded to, but all the way through, he's kind of like that, right? But then you saw it in Hard Knocks a little bit, if you're really paying attention, that the guy just knows football inside and out. And I mean, that's what happens when you're a tight end in football, I think, you know, at least on the offensive side of the ball, you have to know the run and the pass game inside out. You have to know blocking. So when it comes to actually teaching the game when he was at the lower level, he was fantastic at that. And when you hear about what he was able to do in New Orleans with the Saints, everyone speaks about really well with his man-to-man coaching style and how he can relate to the players. So he's a former player. He can relate to the players. He played in a position which actually translates really well to coaching. He actually had a really good record as an interim head coach in Miami too. So that kind of helped. He'd done it a little bit before. And then the other thing really is just that he is so authentically himself. Even when it comes to dealing with the media, there's no BS there. What he says is the truth. And then when he's speaking to his players through those press conferences, they can feel his energy and they feed off of that because they know that what they're hearing is exactly what they need to hear at that time. And at the end of the day, got through year one, 3 wins, not ideal. When they started winning, it turned the buy-in that they were given on faith into belief in a proven product. And now just taking it to new heights. At the end of the day, they are practicing what he's preaching. And that's the biggest thing.
If you maybe sort of juxtapose where the Bears currently are trying to align all the planets together, and maybe you look back a little bit at the Lions and how they've gone from where they were to where they are now. I mean, outside of Dan Campbell, like what else would you say were the most significant milestones in terms of this process and overhauling the Detroit Lions to being so incredibly viable now when for so long, as we all know, they were so incredibly not viable?
It's weird because it's one of those things where people say things like, and as a Lions fan, you know, I know this, rebuilds take time and, you know, you've got to give someone a few years to try and figure it out. Even when we were a winless team in the first year of Dan Campbell, it felt right. Everything just felt okay. And you had some people who are maybe doubting when it came to some of the fan base. But if you saw what was happening behind the scenes, you saw the chemistry of the owner to the GM to the head coach. They're all on the same page. And it's the first time since I've been a fan where those trio have been aligned. And then that's a trickle-down effect to the rest of the organization. So I think the biggest thing is that the owner helps, right? But they're not really involved in football operations. The chemistry between the general manager and the head coach is maybe the biggest thing in football. And I don't think it's – so people say, well, you need to get the head coach right because that's what's going to put the product on the field. But if the general manager isn't picking the players that the head coach wants to play with, that's going to affect the overall vision and vice versa. So in soccer in the UK, generally speaking – it used to be that the head coach was also the general manager. They are one and the same. So he goes and buys the players he wants to put in his system. The European approach is slightly different. That's the British approach. The European approach is that they are separate. And that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, because they can dedicate an entire role to just thinking about who to bring in. but it all speaks to the culture. So when Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell were hired separately, didn't have anything to do with each other being hired, it's a risk. But when they talk to each other and the chemistry is there, then you get this product on the field. And it doesn't matter kind of how long it takes because it feels right. And I think the thing with the Bears I've seen over as long as I've been a Lions fan, really, is that I have never felt the general manager has been on the same page as the head coach. And I still think that that's true now, which is what gives me worries about the Bears going forward. I don't see Poles and Flus on the same page. And maybe that is different this year now, because I do feel like the Bears have done more of what I would be doing if I was trying to build for Eberflus. The problem is, how long of a leash does he have? So to try and link those two teams together. But for the Lions, they could have gone almost winless in the first season and it didn't affect the faith. And then, you know, you win in Green Bay to extinguish their hopes the next year and it's all upward from there.
I do want to come back to that, Jack, you know, Matt's thoughts on the Bears going forward. But if it's okay, I do just a couple quick things. Just knowing the Lions, I do think this is a question, right? Because it's not all roses, right? It's so excuse the bad dad joke, right? Dan Campbell's Achilles ankle, because he's an ankle biter, right? Or is a kneecap biter? I can't kneecap. Remember. Doesn't yeah, kneecap, whatever. So what is the thing, you know, that you don't necessarily love about Dan Campbell?
There were some decisions early on, in-game decisions, when it came to crunch time that he got very wrong. So specifically thinking about actually a couple of Vikings games where we were ahead late and he got conservative, allowed us to punt the ball away, and we lost games with like 30 seconds to play being up two. So the in-game management really needed a bit of work. He's gotten better with that. Certainly he's added the second most wins on fourth down in the NFL. So he's doing something right in that regard. He shows a lot of loyalty to his staff, and that can be seen as a good and bad thing. We fired a lot of DB coaches when a lot of people might have fired the defensive coordinator. So Aaron Glenn is still there. I still have faith in Aaron Glenn. But, I mean, we'll come on, I'm sure, to talk about our offseason. But this is the year where Aaron Glenn is either going to go and get himself a head coaching job or he's going to be fired. And there's not going to be an in-between because of the investments we've made. So maybe he's too loyal to his staff. And we've seen that before, and that can sink a ship as well. I mean, have a look at Green Bay last year and the defensive coordinator. I mean, everyone knew that was bad from the start, but they hung on for almost a full year, didn't they? So, or that there was a full year and they fired him in the offseason. But that's the thing that I fear the most, is it'll hang on to people when he shouldn't.
So let's talk offseason. You know, what are the things that you're most excited about with this offseason? Like, what are the things that you think that the Lions addressed exceptionally well this offseason?
So in previous off seasons, it was almost hard to go wrong because there were so many holes to fill. It kind of didn't matter. You're always matching need with value. Whereas now the team is good, right? It's up there. And so it may be that the value pick isn't necessarily what you need. And do you still go with the value or do you try and pick for need? And this is probably the worst draft class that we've had in the last 3 years, I would say, in terms of how good the players are. However, they are picking them in the positions in which you need to invest the most. So they have gone pretty hard for my money, needs-wise. Now, they claim that it's also what they saw as the value. If that's true, matched up perfectly for us. But, you know, remains to be seen. I don't think that this is going to live up to last year with Gibbs and LaPorta and Branch, and the year before where you had Hutchinson and Kirby Joseph and Malcolm Rodriguez and James Houston and all those guys. I don't think it's going to be that sort of draft, but we had a massive need in the secondary. I already said about the fact that we were firing DB coaches. That's gone very wrong in the past. So drafting Terrion Arnold, drafting Ennis Rakestraw, trading for, I can never remember his bloody name, Tampa Bay cornerback Carlton Davis for a third round pick, and we got a little bit back in return. So
it's not important.
I got there eventually. So we had our biggest need at corner. We addressed it by getting three players in and Amik Robertson in free agency as well. So it was bad. We've got four new players in. So our starters from last year won't be seeing the field. They might not even make the 53 for the player, one of the players that started in the playoffs. So that's a really encouraging sign. The other one was our defensive line was basically Ali McNeil and Aiden Hutchinson and a bag of no one. And going out and getting DJ Reader is just a huge statement. He is maybe the best nose tackle in football. I would say he's the best nose tackle in football. His problem's availability. He'll play 11 to 13 games a year. But if he's eating up the blocks, Ali McNeil can eat. And Aleem already had a breakout year last year. So there's an edge spot which maybe could be filled. We've got Marcus Davenport. How much is he going to be healthy? I know that he was not exactly liked last year at Minnesota. Probably justified for that, but he comes on a cheap price deal. But where we lacked the most, we have filled with some fairly big names. And I mean, if everyone uses the offseason to hype up their own players a lot, right? But that hasn't happened for the Lions, not in the last few seasons. We've never heard something that hasn't been backed up in season. So we heard Hutchinson was having a really good offseason. Well, he was fantastic as a rookie. We heard that Jahmyr Gibbs was looking fantastic and Sam Laporta was going to be one of the best receivers on the team. And Sam Laporta was maybe the best rookie tight end of all time. So when we've had hype, it's been backed up. And apparently Terrion Arnold maybe should be rookie defensive player of the year if he's fully healthy for a season. I mean, apparently he looks... I mean, so much better than I was expecting. I was not particularly high on Terrion Arnold in the pre-draft process compared to some of the other cornerbacks. But apparently he looks like he should be a bona fide starter straight away and will be making a play for that. So if that comes true, I mean, there's no reason why the Lions offense should fall off. It's been a top five unit for the last 2 years. So if that's true and our defense can come up to that level, we turn into contenders, but on the lower end of that last season, to being bona fide Super Bowl candidates. And you're just praying that everyone stays healthy now. I mean, that's the thing that's scaring me the most is, okay, well, what happens if Goff gets injured? And some people may scoff at me worrying about Goff because they don't think highly of him, but he is, for me, a top 10 quarterback. And I wouldn't have said that a few years ago. I wanted him to be cut from the team in the first season he was here, but he's proven me wrong, and he got the big deal in the offseason, like we gave big deals to quite a few players. He's fully justified it. It's a big FU to the people that have wronged him, you know. Sean McVay and the Rams jettisoning him off. I think both sides feel really great about that deal now, and I think there's no doubt that you can win a Super Bowl with him, especially if you build well, like the Rams did, and like I think we have done. So the sky's the limit. The problem is, this is one of the best divisions in football. So it's not like you even have an easy run to win your division at this point.
You know, you had me on the show for your version of the, you know, around the NFC North. And I made the, you know, the sinful claim that, you know, that Goff was overrated and did not deserve the quarterback or the, did not deserve the contract that he received. And I was going back and looking at some of the comments from that show and realized I had definitely crossed the Rubicon. I mean, don't you think that Goff is a system quarterback that is being propped up by elite talent all around him? And I mean, any quarterback is only so good as the special players that are around him and the offensive line. That's granted. But I think, you know, if you put Goff on the Vikings this year, the Vikings suck even worse than they maybe are already going to suck. If you put Goff on the Bears in the last 3 to 5 years, we're not seeing as productive as a Goff, I don't think. Thoughts?
It's tough. And I do buy a little bit of what you're selling, but I do think, to put it another way, that I think we are a Super Bowl contender with Goff, but I'm not sure we would be with Stafford. And the reason that I say that, even though I would say in isolation Stafford is a better quarterback, is because Jared Goff is much better at operating a timing-based offense. Stafford is a gunslinger. He likes to fire it. Goff is capable of that, but it's not his strength. Goff just works on scheme and timing. And when you have a look at Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to break out and do that this year as well, that's what they do best. So when you talk about elite talent, it is a synergistic thing. Because if they didn't, if Stafford was playing here, Amon-Ra St. Brown would not be anywhere near being an all-pro player. He wouldn't have gotten paid yet. Stafford wouldn't know what to do with a player like him. I mean, Cooper Kupp physically is more talented, and Stafford is doing very well with Cooper Kupp, but Amon-Ra St. Brown isn't that guy. And I have my doubts. What I mean is to say, if you put any quarterback on the Bears last year, even Mahomes, I'm not sure you have a Super Bowl contender. So on some level, you need to have the team, and then it's how the team works together. Is Goff someone who's going to elevate a team necessarily? No. If you build the right style of offense, he's going to fit it like a glove. I genuinely think in the last 15 years of me being a fan, the way that we have built our offense, the only two active quarterbacks in the last 15 years I think could run our offense better are Brady and Manning. And I do not think in our offense there's a better quarterback. I don't think Mahomes operates our offense better than Goff. You call that a system quarterback, but if it works, who cares?
I think I'm right where Jack was, you know, but it's hard to deny his success. I just think he doesn't have the it factor that I think maybe that gunslinger mentality that you're talking about that Stafford had, but it's hard to argue with his results. But Jack, I am with you in a little bit in that it sounds like Matt is saying this too. He's the right piece for that very specific puzzle, if that sort of makes sense. Let's talk about this. You guys, again, I don't think there's very many people that are going to say that the Lions aren't at the top of the NFC North, let alone, you know, towards the top of the NFC, towards the top of the NFL. So my question then, and I'm very, very curious what you're going to say. What are the question marks? What are the concerns with this team? Because there have to be some, Matt. So where are you at with that?
Clear question still in the secondary. So, like I said, we've invested highly, but Carlton Davis has never taken a snap as a Lion. So if that doesn't work, we're in trouble. And Terrion Arnold, for all me saying, you know, they're talking about him like a rookie defensive player of the year candidate. Well, he's still a rookie. And, you know, there'll be plenty of stuff he hasn't seen in the NFL. And what if that doesn't work out? And, I mean, safety kind of took a step back last year. So we had Kirby Joseph and then Ifeatu Melifonwu came on down the stretch. Melifonwu is the first season that he's had fully healthy. He looked really great in the last half of the season. I was banging the table for him to play all season, and he really came on good. But his skill set is very specific. He is very good at blitzing. I think he's good in run defense. He's a kind of big slot type guy who can come down. Can he be a coverage guy? I'm not entirely sold on that. Kirby Joseph took a step back last year. Significant one, actually. And so to combat that, it looks like we might be putting Brian Branch back at safety. Now, he was one of the best nickel corners last year, even as a rookie. And it looks like the Lions are moving him back to safety, which I am not a fan of whatsoever. I really hope that it's going to be a split role. But the more you hear, the more it sounds like it's going to be a full-time move, which is very concerning because, I mean, he didn't even play safety much at Alabama. He played that star role, which was a hybrid role. Safety reps, especially single high. And I mean, in our system, you have to be able to do it all at safety. So if they do put him back there as a split safety, as single high, as whatever, it will be a role he's not hugely experienced with. They're thinking they can cross-train him doing it. But there's serious question marks with those three, and they are our starters. So, you know, maybe you can attack that. We did bring in Kevin Zeitler from the Baltimore Ravens to come in at right guard. Pro Bowl guard last year, but he's 34 years old. And if you listen to the Ravens fans, it was one of his worst seasons last year, despite him going to the Pro Bowl. Graham Glasgow is moving over to the left-hand side. He's more natural right guard. He can play left. But he's had one rebound year with us. He was really bad with Denver. He was at the Lions before that. He was really bad at Denver due to injury. Frank Ragnow is perennially injured and plays through it. But what happens if he can't play through it? Decker has been carrying some injuries. So that offensive line that's a real strength of ours, well, maybe the number one offensive line in the NFL when they're all healthy. But there's potentially questions about all but Penei Sewell. And then I guess the other one is we kind of need Jameson Williams to work. We need that second wide receiver to step up alongside Amon Ra St. Brown. And it was a real up year for him compared to the rest of his career last year. He was catching some deep balls. He took some jet sweeps and some motions in the backfield, and that really worked for us. Looking at the San Francisco game, obviously he scored the really big touchdown early. There are positive signs, but we're asking him to go from showing us nothing to something last year, and now from something to absolutely everything. You're hearing Lions fans say that they want 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns from him. And that's just scary to me, because I think we're setting him up to fail if those are the level of expectations, just because we need him to do it rather than if he's ready for it. And I guess the other one is, what if LaPorta just isn't good in his sophomore year compared to his rookie year? Because how he played, you know, almost 900 yards and 10 touchdowns or whatever it was, he was a phenomenon. And I think it's hard to ask him to do that in back-to-back years. Maybe the sophomore slump is real for him too. So there are plenty of questions and there are plenty of ways that this can go wrong. I have faith that not all of that is going to come true.
All right, Matt, some thoughts on the Chicago Bears. How afraid of them are you now that we have won the draft and have Caleb Williams quarterback? How many wins do you see for the Bears? Or do you see them finishing in the division?
$1 million question, isn't it? Because there's a real opening in the NFC North to get three playoff teams. I'm counting the Vikings out at this point, just by the way. I mean, you guys know I was present at the draft, and seeing you guys trade into the draft to take Austin Booker was kind of annoying. But having the British guy announce the punter pick, Tory Taylor, just pissed us off a lot, I can't tell you. All three of the guys at the top, Williams, Adunze, and I can never say his name, the guy from Yale, Amagadji, I'm going to say. I really like all three of them. Williams is still a rookie quarterback, right? And he could be Bryce Young, and he could be Caleb. So let's see on that. But they're definitely a more scary prospect now. I mean, you know, the trades that you guys have made in bringing Keenan Allen is really impressive. What you did last year with Montez Sweat. This has turned from a Bears team, which no one's really worrying about. It's, you know, you come into a game, Fields might beat you with his legs. That's the fear, and he did. Fields really tore us a new one with his legs. But now Williams comes in, and he's going to have a lot to learn. I mean, he was the number one pick for the entire offseason. It was very clear that he was going to be that guy, and he's a very special talent. There is something very Mahomesian to him. You know, he's very inventive. He's got a great arm. He's good in structure. He's fantastic out of structure. And that USC team didn't win a damn thing. Like, you know, when it comes to it, the guy ain't a winner yet. And, you know, as a Lions fan, you have to say, especially during the Stafford years, quarterback wins aren't a stat. And so I'm hoping I will hear the Bears fans repeat that, because it's so true. And I don't buy that quarterback wins are a stat. However, he proved that if you don't put the pieces around him, he's going to struggle. And he, you know, wasn't mistake-free. In fact, him trying to be so inventive did cause him to make really boneheaded mistakes too, throwing into triple, quadruple coverage, hero ball type stuff. So I would rather have this problem than him not being aggressive enough. It's a really encouraging trait to have, that you have to kind of dial him back and rein him in. And he's going to be very exciting. Adunze is the one that really gets me. I really like him. And, you know, you have the best wide receiver group in the division. The defense is much better stocked, and you've got a quarterback you can finally believe in. So they are a legitimate prospect. And wins, I mean, I would go as high as 10. I think 10 is possible. 10 is hopeful for the Bears, I would say, but it's definitely possible. The range is probably pretty small, I think. Before, I think I said with the Bears, if Fields gets hot and you can't stop him, the Bears could win a lot of games. So I think I was always putting it between like 3 and 11 wins, because I have no idea. But now I kind of think it's kind of contracted a bit, and it's now between like 7 and 10. And I think all of those would be a success in year one of Caleb Williams, because if he wasn't fantastic in his rookie year, no one's going to say it's all his fault. everyone gives a rookie quarterback a pass, as long as he doesn't look absolutely terrible. So the arrow is up for the Bears. The only fear is that, you know, you guys have traded away quite a few draft picks, right? So there's not a huge amount to come in future years. And so if it's not great this year, what's the hope for next year? I think you guys have to do pretty well this season to justify what's happened.
I think it's been more of an accumulation of draft picks than what we became accustomed to under Ryan Pace, who just threw them away like they were, you know, like they were useless. But yeah, I definitely think there's some interesting stuff in there. Matt, I need your advice because oh, no. I don't know what to do with this. I've been pining for this and hoping for this for a really long time. And all of a sudden it's happening. It's happening in Chicago. And it's my team, and I need to know, like, what do I do? What advice can you give me on having my favorite football team be on Hard Knocks?
Oh, man. I was so excited for the Lions being on, but that's because we knew what we were getting in Dan Campbell. He has always been himself. And with Flus and with the guys, I don't know. There's so many exciting players there that I am excited to watch it and to see what it's like. But because of what's happened in his tenure, I don't know if I would be excited. I might be scared to watch Matt Eberflus. Now, let's see. I don't know. I mean, I think the off-season stuff with the Giants has been really interesting, and them talking about trading away Saquon Barkley and that sort of thing. The insight you get is fantastic. So with the Bears, you know, are they going to be talking about who's playing and how's coming along? You're going to get great access with the rookies and how Caleb Williams is doing. I mean, what pressure to put Caleb under in his first year? It's going to be really tough. But, you know, some of it's going to be watching, you know, with your hands over your eyes going, make it stop. And some of it's going to make you feel proud to be a fan. And I think from a TV show, that's what you want. It's going to give you, hopefully, a warm, fuzzy feeling. I hope for you guys. I don't hope that for myself and my viewing process. I'm hoping to enjoy it immensely for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I'll just give you this one. Like over under 45 times that Matt Eberflus says, right. Just every time that he sounds right. And so just be ready for that one.
Dan Campbell had at a baby, which, yeah, it's the same thing.
All right, so last one, Matt, and we're, you know, I know how this is going to go, especially because I watched Jack's with you on there, but I do want to hear the NFC North. It's interesting when you said it a little while ago, I really believe that this is one of the best divisions in all of football. I mean, legitimately, you could have three football teams all going to the playoffs from the NFC North. You know, the Bears were the weak link last season, but I don't really think that's the case as much as it was last year because they've improved in so many different facets. And so I'm really, really curious, like, how do you see the NFC North playing out?
And I mean, even though I said I'm writing off the Vikings, you look at that depth chart, and I know the quarterback's going to be the problem, but the rest of the team's pretty good. It's tough. I do see the Lions winning it. That's not a surprise, I hope, given what happened last year and how we finished the year before and how we've done in this offseason. But Green Bay finished last year on an absolute tear. I mean, you've got people convinced that Jordan Love is now a top 10 quarterback, which is horrific to hear because they can't have done it again. Honestly, they can't have done
it. It's not fair. It's not fair.
But they might have done it again. And I think that we have to acknowledge that the possibility exists that Jordan Love is going to be a top-tier quarterback. And that team is so young that their growth is going to be cumulative and fast because they're all getting reps. So, I mean, they destroyed one of the better teams in the NFC last year in the Cowboys in the playoffs. I mean, they took a torch to that team. And even as you know, the Green Bay being one of my most hated teams, I actually enjoyed that very, very much because who doesn't hate the Cowboys just a little bit more than their closest rivals? So Green Bay are going to be up there. But, I mean, the Bears, like I said, they've got the best wide receiver core. If Caleb hits the ground running, you've got four running backs that would be making the roster for any NFL team, never mind NFC team. And, you know, the defense, is it going to be a work in progress or is it just going to be good? I mean, it's a scary prospect. The edge, the second edge position is the thing that I'm really looking at. You want a rebound year from Edwards and Edmonds because I don't think they had their best year last year, where Sanborn is still just fantastic. Love that guy. I don't like the Kevin Byard signing, but I'm sure he'll be fine. Brisker is great. Gordon's come on. There's just something to really like about that defense. So I'm seeing if Williams hits, a fairly complete Bears team, does it have the offensive line to carry the team? I don't know. And the Vikings are probably going to be better than we expect, just because I still kind of like Darnold, and I kind of always have. So pray that that doesn't work out. But Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Christian Darrisaw, Brian O'Neill on that offense, that's going to work pretty well for any quarterback. And Darnold always only needed time, right? He just needed time behind the line. He would find a throw eventually. The problem was he wasn't seeing it quickly enough, and he made a few boneheaded mistakes. And then that defense, I mean, they've really invested. Andrew Van Ginkle's come in, Jonathan Grenard, Jonathan Bullard, I think, is new as well, Shaq Griffin, Blake Cashman. And then they've still got Byron Murphy and Harrison Smith and Josh Metellus and Harrison Phillips. Like, they got names. Can they put it together? I mean, they're going to blitz everyone to hell, and that's going to create lots of luck in those games. So can I see the Vikings going 3-3 in division? Sure. Yeah. Why not at this point? So I think how competitive it is going to depress everyone's records, because if the Lions now were playing last year's teams, I predicted 14 wins last year, and we came pretty close. I would feel very confident saying like 14, 15 wins for the Lions if this Lions team was playing last year. But everyone's just so close now. It wouldn't surprise me if the Lions didn't win the division and that three teams got in as wild cards. I have three double-digit win teams, but I'll cut it off now. Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings. I've gone on long enough.
I just think further proving what we said earlier is, Matt, you really, really, really know your stuff. You know, and obviously I'm hoping you're wrong in a few things, but just, you know, it's good stuff, dude. Good stuff.
Bears make the playoffs. I do think that I'll go for it. 10 wins. And oh God, can we get 1-5-6 as the seeds? That would be really fun to have the two best wild cards and the top team in the NFC. That'd be really fun.
So folks, for all of you, I'll just say this, is that if you are a Bears fan and you're watching this right now, you don't want to follow a lot of Lions people. I get it. I totally understand. But you need to be following Roar of the Lions. These guys know their stuff. They do excellent college research. They know the NFC North inside and out, and they're always just a fun watch. I check out some of your guys' episodes, even when it's not Bears related. Matt, you guys do such a phenomenal job over there. And I'm so thankful that we continue this relationship. And it's fun to talk shit about each other's teams and keep it rolling. So
I mean, there's no shit coming from me, though. I just have I do like to banter, but the problem is that the teams are good now and the competitiveness is going to be fun. I can't wait for this season. It's going to be so good.
Folks, thank you so much. Matt, seriously, stop by anytime. It's always great talking to you. Please take care of yourself, all right?
Thanks Ryan. Cheers, Jack.
Good to see you.
You know, I'm effusive about my praise for Matt and the Roar of the Lions, but I truly, like, I know when he said it too, it really stuck with me, is if you're going to be in the UK and talk about an American game, you really got to know your stuff. And he does, like, he does so well.
I'm amazed at how all of the international folks that are Bears fans or NFC North fans in any way, shape or form, the times of day that they have to get up at night to watch the games, like, not, I mean, we're, you know, just a stone throw away from the city, you know, and it's still sometimes difficult to sift through all the information. Two things that stood out from what he said, just hearing him say, you have the best wide receiver room in the NFC. I mean, yay.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have Justin. Ever heard that ever.
We don't have Justin Jefferson, which, I mean, like, there, right. No one on the planet is going to say he isn't right. The best. And if they do, they're wrong. But but you're, I mean, like the three, it's because it is a trio.
Yes.
And
then the second thing, I was just a little surprised that, I mean, I'd be interested. I might ask him, direct message him and see in what ways he thinks that, that Flus and Poles aren't on the same page. Cause I feel like there's a bromance developing there and that they do have a common vision. So I was just a little surprised by that.
You know me, I'm not the Eberflus guy that you are. And I'm starting to see why you liked him. And I get that, like as Matt said so well, right? It takes time to build and you got to give a guy an opportunity in which to do so, which I'm trying to as best I possibly can. But I would agree with you to an extent. I do think that bromance has kind of grown where it wasn't
flowered.
Yeah. Flowered. There you go. I don't know that it was necessarily there initially because again, that they weren't, you know, I think, and you know, they said that Eberflus wasn't thrust upon Ryan Poles, but I think it was strongly encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, dude, we got two more phenomenal guests. This episode just keeps rolling and I don't know about you, but I'm excited to shift gears and we know these guys and they don't have a podcast and I don't care. And they're like, every time we get to talk to them, like, I think they get their Vikings fandom out because they are displaced Vikings fans, which I think just makes it that much better. And so I'm elated to bring on our very good friends, Brian Heifel and Dan Iverson. Boys, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, doing well.
Brian, you with us?
Oh, he's muted.
Brian is muted.
Sorry. It's like a crazy delay on my end. Like Ryan kept getting hung up and then I was like, am I live? So I'm here.
Okay. So boys, just really quick, just before we get into all the Vikings talk, is it difficult being a Vikings fan out of Vikings land? You know, I mean, it's different when you have a text thread going with your friends that are Vikings fans. But like, you know, every once in a while, you're like, I want to go out with the boys and talk Vikings, right? Is it difficult not having that?
I think you could have stopped the sentence after, is it difficult being a Vikings fan? however, to answer your question, yeah. I mean, my whole family's from Minnesota, but I've actually never lived there when I've been conscious of my surroundings. And so, I've only ever been surrounded by the enemy, so to speak. And so, I think it is difficult, scarring sometimes, but it's a journey of a lifetime. Wouldn't trade it.
Brian, what about you?
I totally agree. I mean, I grew up as a Vikings fan just because my father was a Vikings fan. He wanted to be kind of somebody different. Everybody liked the Redskins around here, and he grew up wanting to like somebody different. And I started watching them because of him, and it's blossomed. It is weird being in Virginia and being a Vikings fan. I awkwardly will say anytime I see somebody wearing a hat, I'm like, Vikings fan, and they'll just look at me like, you know, I've got three heads. So you don't have that sort of, like you say, brotherhood of Viking fans that are nearby that you can go hang out with. It's just random, you know, passersby that you recognize.
I just want to mention quickly, I have the great fortune of being a close and personal friend with Dan. And so he has to resort to talking to me, and I think probably you too, Ryan, about the Vikings quite often. And
I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you mean?
So I can say without question, and sorry, Brian, I don't know you as well, but I can say without question, Dan has a thorough understanding and knowledge of his Vikings. Imagine going to a football game with a guy who usually is incredibly even-tempered, very steady Eddie, you know, he's like the ship and not the ocean. Then you go to the game with the guy, like I did with Dan, and he is just losing his mind. We saw one of the coolest games, one of the coolest plays you'll ever see, like in Vikings history. But to say that Dan is an avid fan is the understatement of a lifetime.
That's so spot on. You're right. Dan, you are like as even keeled as they come. Except when it comes to the Vikings. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
that's what they do to you. I mean, they just raise your heart rate. And I got to give this podcast a lot of credit, though. I mean, if it wasn't for the podcast, I wouldn't have been connected with Dan and, of course, Kevin, who's not with us right now. But it's kind of given us – yes, it's we're separated by many miles, but, again, it's that text group that we can kind of all talk about current events and things like that and, of course, join in and talk around the NFC North. So I really appreciate that about this podcast.
So, boys, I hate to do this, but I think this is probably the appropriate way in which to start this. You know, thinking about Kyrie Jackson, I know that we talked about this, and just more than anything else in the world, like, I know his family and friends are not going to watch this, but just like to collectively, from all Bears fans that are there, sending like our love to his family, to his friends, the other people that were involved in this horrible accident that took place. And just, you know, I was telling Brian this, that there's just something that's, I think this is in a lot of us. I love watching people live their dreams. It's one of the things I love about watching the Olympics, right? When you see that person that narrowly makes the Olympic team or whatever it is, and you just see them overcome with joy. And the fact that we got to see Kyrie Jackson get drafted by the Vikings, right? Like that brings me great joy to know all of his hard work came to fruition. I just wish that he had the opportunity to take one foot on that field for a game, to truly let that dream come to fruition. And it breaks my heart. It absolutely, yes, we love to give the other team shit, but this is one where I think that we're all united in. Just my thoughts are with the Jackson's family so very, very much. It just hurts.
Yeah, it was hard to hear. You know, on Saturday when that news broke, cause he, you know, I think he was one of the oldest guys drafted this year. And, you know, I think that's probably why he was drafted in the fourth round. But otherwise was a kind of a phenomenal talent and a guy that took a little while to kind of figure out what he wanted to do, with respect to football. And I think that also probably is what pushed him to the fourth round. But I think everybody that at least was reported around the Vikings camp, even prior to this tragedy happening, he's a guy that stood out on Viking social media as a guy that was a fun guy to get around, always had something to say, a real pleasant personality. And I mean, you know, these sorts of things, there's never anything particularly, you know, I don't know. It's hard to find the right words. And I think you did a good job, Ryan, we wish we could have seen him out on the field. And of course there's never a good time for any of this sort of thing to occur, but it was a real rough weekend and continues to be a rough week for the Vikings as an organization.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Dan and Ryan, I think, you know, Kyrie's path was very unorthodox getting to the NFL. And so, you know, you mentioned this in a text to me earlier, Ryan, you know, at least he had that blessing of being drafted and he could experience that. I think the Vikings were expecting big things for him. And so it makes it all the more tragic. That does not, again, it doesn't, I'm not trying to take anything away from it. It's three people who lost their lives and it's horrible. But I think, to make it to the NFL and to have all these aspirations and then to have it cut so short, so tragically is terrible. So my heartfelt condolences to Kyrie's family and again, his friends and their families as well.
Yeah.
There's no way to easily transition from that, but we do have you on to talk about the Vikings and we'd love to pick your brains a little bit about what you think is in store for the Vikings this year. So let's go Brian and then Dan. Just curious, like what are your thoughts? Are you still all in? No more Kirk Cousins? What are your general senses of the upcoming season for your Vikings? I'm sorry, Vikings.
Oh, I misspoke. Oof. Ouch, Freudian slip there.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
So firstly, I wish Kirk Cousins all the best in Atlanta. I really do. That said, I'm very excited to not have Kirk Cousins as our quarterback. And that is not a knock on Kirk. It was time to move on. I can't say that I'm like super psyched about Sam Darnold. But I think under Kevin O'Connell and, you know, Keenan McCardle and Wes Phillips, who are make up the offensive side of the Vikings staff. I think they can get the most out of Sam Darnold. I'm really excited to see. It's just an exciting time. It's almost like we drafted – well, we did draft a quarterback in the first round, McCarthy. I don't think he'll see the field this year, but it's just – it's such an exciting time. We haven't had that in years, and so I'm really looking forward to it, and I think they can really get the most out of this offense.
Dan, same question. Where are you at with all this?
Well, you know, I think Brad and I've always had a little bit different opinions on Kirk Cousins, but I was a more of a Kirk. I don't know. I liked him more than I didn't, but at the same time, with what Atlanta paid to get him away, I'm actually really okay with him being in Atlanta right now. And I also wish him the best. You know, this year as in general, the Darnold thing, I don't know. We'll see. You know, it's a little bit hard to tell. Hopefully you hope for a sort of a Geno Smith like transition into something better than what he has been. But the fact that the 49ers let him go and sign Josh Dobbs as their backup is not encouraging, I guess, for what the 49ers thought of him. But anyway, you know, I think this year, I guess I'm kind of optimistic, actually. I think they've got a plan. I think they're working their plan. I don't think they're going to rush JJ McCarthy into this. I think that, you know, overall, this is, I think they're a solid team without a great quarterback. And that, you know, I think that provides a range of possibilities from really, really ugly to really, really kind of special. So I'm kind of approaching it with that sort of guarded optimism. And if it goes down the toilet, I think there's a plan, and I think that they're going to figure it out and move forward.
So boys, let's talk specific strengths. I know that you guys both heard Matt Turner, who, you know, he knows football. And definitely I saw a look, Brian, when saying that the Bears have the best receiving core in the NFC North. Well, what are the strengths of this team? You know, what are the things that you will say, hey, Vikings will hang their hats on blank?
Dan?
Let's go Dan and Brian.
Yeah, I think they clearly have the best receiver in the conference, probably in the league, in Justin Jefferson, and that's going to make Sam Darnold better. You know, and so, you know, as a whole, I think their receiver room, I take the point. I mean, there's some really good receivers now in the NFC North, so I take the point of debating where that is. I still think it's hard to be better than Addison and Jefferson together. As a duo, you know, I think their weakness is that they don't have a third established one yet. But outside of that, hang their hat, I think they're just kind of solid everywhere. I mean, I think they lost their best defensive player. But, you know, they brought in some other people. And so I think they've got another year under Brian Flores. I think they might be in a situation where the defense is solid. I mean, it's, you know, solid, if not special. And so I can't give you a straight answer on that. This is where we're awesome, other than Justin Jefferson. I mean, Justin Jefferson, definitely awesome. Beyond that, I think they have the potential to be good just about everywhere. And again, I would even say put the quarterback in at that. I think that Darnold, I certainly wouldn't guarantee anything from him, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's terrible, but it also wouldn't surprise me if he's serviceable. So it means on the solid serviceable side, especially with two really, really good receivers. And if Hockenson gets healthy, with three really, really big, really impressive receiving options, I think it could be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, again, I disagree with Matt in the fact that he said that the Bears have the stronger receiving core. I definitely think the Vikings have the strongest receiving core. But I'm going to go a little bit off the grid here. I think their biggest strength, honestly, is coaching. I think, and I know Dan Campbell gets a lot of credit. I know Matt LaFleur gets a lot of credit. I think Kevin O'Connell is one of the best coaches in the league. And I think that they have one of the best defensive coordinators in the league in Brian Flores. And then under that, they've just got a lot. They've got, you know, Josh McCown is there as quarterback's coach. Keenan McCardle, wide receivers coach, these former players that they're kind of putting these young players they're surrounding them with. And I think that is their biggest weapon. And then I also think their offensive line is really underrated. Christian Darrisaw and Brian Arneal are premier tackles in the league. They've got a little bit of weakness on the interior, but, you know, Garrett Bradbury is still a good, serviceable center. So I think they have some really good things going for them. Like Dan said, they are very solid. They don't have, outside of Jefferson and maybe Hockenson when healthy and Harrison Smith, outside of them, do they have a lot of blue chip guys? No, but they've got a lot of really good players. I think if Aaron Jones is healthy, that's going to be a game change for us. He and Ty Chandler are going to be a really nice 1-2 punch. So I think there's a lot to look forward to. It's going to be, again, a lot of new faces, and I think it could really change how the Vikings coaching staff, which is, I think, their strongest piece, can use these players.
I'm curious on your thoughts. Just as, you know, coming from a franchise that's been, well, on the struggle bus, offensive line and quarterback play-wise, I mean, okay, I'll just project for a minute. If I'm you, I'm very concerned. I think that you haven't been in a quarterback vacuum in a long, long time. And now you've got Sam Darnold and a rookie. And, you know, Dan, I think you were fair in saying that it could go really, really well or it could go awful. And maybe I missed this. You could speak to it again. Like, what's the status currently of the offensive line? Because it's going to need to be real good, in my opinion, to be able to distribute that ball to your weapons, which I agree, you do have some top tier elite blue chip weapons. I don't know. I guess, and maybe I'm just being hopeful from a Bears perspective, that there's a real good chance that, like, you just never gain traction as an offense with a career backup and a possible rookie replacement. So I guess I would ask Dan and then Ryan, where are you in line with me and not so much in line with me on those concerns?
Well, I think the offensive line has to be good, and I think it has the potential to be good. I think Brian already sort of nailed it. The tackles are very good. I mean, on the outside, they're very good. And so if they stay healthy, I think they'll be really, really set there. In the middle, Bradbury has been serviceable. I think their tough part is their guards, the guard play. Ingram on the right side has been better. This is it'll be his third year, I think, and he improved a lot last year. And so I think he's a serviceable, solid starter. I think they have a competition going on between Reisner and Brandel for the other guard spot. And I don't think they'll be bad at offensive line. I think they'll be an average to a well above average offensive line. Is that going to be good enough to keep good defensive lines off of Darnold? Well, we'll see. I don't know.
I agree. I think what, again, this is kind of, not to circle back to Kirk Cousins, damn you, I can never get rid of you. But Kirk Cousins, what hurt Kirk is that he wasn't mobile at all. And I think a guy like Sam Darnold can extend plays in the pocket. You know, he can evade pressure a little bit. Again, I think if we can somehow get a Case Keenum-like year out of Sam Darnold, will be really good. I truly think that. I mean, Nick Mullins, near the end of last year when he stepped in, you know, there were multiple games where he threw for, you know, over 350 yards and multiple touchdowns. And Nick Mullins is not a guy that I would ever trust to be a starter for 16 games. I think they feel confident in their ability to, you know, put Sam Darnold in a position to succeed. They've got a good offensive line. They've got a lot of good weapons. And I think he will be out to prove himself. You know, he's on a one-year deal. He knows that this is not a long-term thing in Minnesota, most likely. I mean, if he lights it up, I guess they could maybe sign him to a bridge deal. But he's playing for his career, really, in my opinion. And he's never been good anywhere else because their teams weren't very good. Carolina and the Jets, I mean, they were bad teams.
Stinky. And,
yes.
I mean, really bad teams. So,
he was not terrible in Carolina. Sorry.
And he wasn't bad. Yeah. Exactly. He was not bad in Carolina in stretches. Again, I'm not saying that he's going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback, but they don't need him to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. They need him to make throws when he can, and he's got a good arm. they need to lean on the run game. But I think that they could be, I think they could be a dark horse. I think they could be actually a pretty scary team because Matt alluded to this earlier. The defense has gotten really good. And so people are going to be focused on the offense, but if they can be serviceable and above average, I think the defense will make up that margin significantly.
Yeah, I think it would, and I would just add in, Jack, your question about how do you deal with a quarterback netherworld, so to speak. And what's sort of keeping me sane on that is, you know, I think I'm really, really pleased that they, A, drafted a first-round quarterback, and B, don't plan to use him this year. Like, I think that is, you know, I think if we see J.J. McCarthy on the field, it will not be because of an injury unless it's catastrophic. Like, I don't even think he's going to be second string. I think he's going to probably be third. And I think they need to keep him off the field. And I'm really okay with that. Like, I'm okay with seeing how Darnold does for the year, like exactly how Brian just said. I mean, and letting McCarthy learn. I think that is as much as it pisses me off that Jordan Love appears to be good. I think the reason he's maybe going to be good is because he sat for a long time and he learned. And I think the Packers, for either, I don't know, happenstance or maybe they're just that good, have something to that. And they understand the need to let a rookie sit. And with McCarthy, he's got some things that I think if you threw him in right away, I think it would be a real problem. And so I'm willing to take some lumps this year if that's what it needs to be. So I'm going to sort of sit back and watch it happen and cheer really hard every week. But, you know, Mullins threw some of the worst interceptions I've ever seen along with all those touchdowns. I mean, they were like, honest to God, like, I don't, so like the ones he threw against the Bengals were like mind numbing.
We're used to that. We're Bears fans.
Yeah, I think it would be hard. Okay, yeah, I don't want to get into an interception off, I guess, with you guys, but at the same time,
you don't.
Yeah, but at the same time, yeah, you know, if and they played competitively though.
But they were in those games. Yeah, to your point, they were in those games, and
yeah, they really could have, should have, would have.
So boys, then let me say this, because your optimism is beaming off of both of you, and I can tell that this is the time that most NFL fans are very excited to talk about their team because of the potential that's there.
Sure.
What's the thing that has you both worried? What is the thing that's saying, ugh, this is not great, or this could go really, really bad, staying away from quarterback? Because I think we've already kind of exhausted that. So let's go Brian and then Dan on this one.
Well, it could be the offensive line. I think, you know, Garrett Bradbury, while he's been serviceable, and I think he's gotten better with time, he's also battled injuries. And like Dan alluded to, you know, Ed Ingram is a third-year player. He's progressed. They've got a battle at left guard with Brandel and Reisner. But if they have anybody go down in the interior, that could be a real problem because it means they'll struggle to run the ball. They won't be able to pass protect. And I think that's their weakest point right now. You could kind of make the argument for the secondary as well, but I think the scary part is offensive line. And Jack, sorry to go back to you. You said that there's kind of been, this is a void for quarterback. We've kind of had an interior lineman void for years. So that's what I'm most worried about, is the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, I think it's hard to say that I'm worried that the organization itself is going to rush this. I mean, I think they've got a plan here. And I think their plan is in progress. And I don't think, if they're good and they happen to be somehow a playoff team this year, I think that's a bonus. I think that's awesome. It's not impossible, but I don't think it's a playoffs or die sort of a situation. So beyond like actual injuries, which obviously you'd be real concerned about, I guess I would, you know, beyond the organization rushing it. And by rushing it, I mean like freaking out if we're 0-3 and then trying to throw JJ McCarthy in and then have him completely implode. And like that would really scare me. But beyond that, I would say the defense, you know, I think I really like Brian Flores, and I think I liked how creative he was last year with the limited amount of talent that he had. And even though we let Danielle Hunter go, I think what we brought in was a redistribution of talent. It has the potential to be good, but if they're not, if somehow, like, the, I mean, everyone threw and ran all over us last year at the very last four or five games that they figured out what was going on. If that's what happens this year, this is going to be a really long year. I mean, we're going to be having to score 40 or 50 points a game just to win. That probably won't go well.
I would imagine that there's already discussion happening right now at Hallis Hall on the ways in which they will teach Caleb to deal with Flores and the defense. I mean, I think that goes around the league to be sure, but of course, you know, with a rookie quarterback, that's going to be especially integral to his success. All right, guys, aside from the Bears securing the greatest punter to have ever played the game, what are your other thoughts, takeaways, concerns about the Chicago Bears? Brian and then Dan, thoughts on the Bears, guys?
Well, it's definitely the defense. I mean, Eberflus is, you know, he's kind of, I wouldn't put him in the same category as Flores, or maybe I would. I mean, he was very good with the Colts, and he totally changed that defense around in Chicago. Obviously, Poles believes in him. I think their defense could be really good. I'm not sold on Caleb Williams. Sorry, Bears fans. But I would be really concerned about that defense.
Yeah, I think the Bears defense by the end of last year was great, I thought. I mean, they really played solid defense. And I see the Bears right now as I would put the Bears above the Vikings in terms of overall ranking, but not without it being a good game. And so I don't think it's a clear one over the other, but I would put the Bears ahead of the Vikings. My real concern with the Bears would be the fact that they've obviously committed to starting a rookie quarterback. And that's obviously nothing new in Chicagoland. It's where I live. So I hear, but at the end of the day, I really do feel like with what I said about JJ McCarthy, committing to starting a rookie as a rookie, is dangerous. And I think the Bears have done everything they can to make that easy on him. I think they've done everything. They've made every possible. So I think they've done everything. If he's going to be successful, I think they've done everything to try to help make that happen. Just the numbers don't back it up. The numbers really don't back up the idea of a rookie quarterback being that good. And it happens. Obviously, it happened in Houston last year, and it happens occasionally. But the numbers just really do not back that up. And so that would be my source of optimism as a Vikings fan, source of concern as a Bears fan. Otherwise, though, you guys are pretty stacked. I mean, like, there's not an area where I'm looking at going, wow, they're not good, fill in the blank. It doesn't really exist so much other than what I just said.
And sorry, I might have misunderstood Jack's question. I was thinking what would I be concerned about as a Vikings fan. But I think Dan articulated far. I think he understood Jack's question a little bit better than I did.
I think both answers were spot on, boys. I got a question, and I think I know the answer. So, are you going to watch Hard Knocks when the Bears roll through? And are you going to hate watch, or are you watching hoping that we make fools of ourselves? Like, where are you guys kind of at on that? Are you going to watch Hard Knocks this season?
Go ahead, Dan.
I probably will tune in here and there just to sort of see what's going on. I don't think I'm going to like sit there with bated breath watching every episode. But I'm real interested. I'm interested in seeing how what the inner workings of the Bears sound like, and to kind of draw a conclusion. My impressions of the Bears are a complete BS, or whether they're kind of spot on. So yeah, no, I'll check in with just a little bit here and there.
Absolutely, I'll be watching. To Dan's point, you kind of want to see what the enemy looks like, how they, deal with things behind scenes. Rookie quarterback, I think that's exciting. I've been watching the Giants, off-season version of Hard Knocks, and I couldn't care less about the Giants, but I like it from a football standpoint, I like to see the inner working. So, yeah, I'll definitely tune in.
All right, well, let's bring it down to the bare bones here, pun intended. Let's use Brent since Brent's posted what he thought his predictions might be. We got a YouTube watcher, and I'm just curious. So how would you go? He's got Detroit at 12 wins for our podcast listeners. He's got Green Bay at 11, the Bears at 9, and the Vikings at 9. So Brian and then Dan, how would you stack it up?
You mean across the board for the division?
Yeah. What are you thinking? What's your order, and how many wins do you think for each team?
I think Detroit at 12 is pretty accurate. I think 11 to 12 wins for Detroit would be good. I'm really hoping that Green Bay regresses for whatever reason. I think the Vikings could have 10 wins. I really do. I think the Vikings could be second in the division, get a wild card berth. Bears, I could see 9 wins. Again, it all falls on Caleb. And then I'm hoping that something catastrophic with the Green Bay, not injury, but, hoping that something happens where, it's like Space Jam where they all lose their gel and they can't play anymore. And they win. They get 3 wins. 3 wins for Green Bay.
I love where your head's at. I love it.
I have a real high opinion of the North, and I think a lot of people do. I think it's not exactly hot take, I guess, but at the same time. I think actually that 12-11-9-9 thing would be, I think, a best case scenario for the division overall. I would agree that I would love for the Packers to be on the significantly lower end of that. But I think the Lions right now, until somebody proves us wrong, are the best team. And that is such a weird thing to say, even after
right?
the year they had last year. I certainly think they're really good. And so they're going to be a hard out. And the Packers, I just don't know. I guess I'd put them second because of how good they looked at the end, somewhere in the double digits of wins, I think. God, they look so good at the end of the year. They could have been in the Super Bowl. I mean, the way they played against the 49ers. So whatever, but anyway, I think the Bears at, 8 or 9 wins is probably something that is real possible. Maybe better if Caleb really shows, if Caleb really plays like, what's his name? Stroud did in Houston. I mean, then I think the Bears are looking at 11 or 12 wins probably. But barring that, I think probably somewhere plus or minus 500, which 500 is no longer possible at this point, but still. And the Vikings, I think the Vikings won 7 games last year, and they started four different quarterbacks at some point without a particular plan for if Cousins went down. They played competitively all the way through that in a terrible, like the worst. They'll definitely be a better quarterback situation this year than what they had last year after Cousins went down. I know, definitely is a hard word to use.
Sam Darnold, I don't know that a lot of people are going to agree with your guys' optimism on that one.
Well,
Sammy.
It's optimism in terms of, I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl with Sam Darnold, but at the same time, can they be better than 7 wins, which is what they were last year with Sam Darnold and this roster? So. Yeah, I think they can. And so, keep in mind, look, they had Mullins at the end of the year, and Mullins was slinging it around. He's put up tons of yards, tons of touchdowns, and a lot of interceptions. They have him on the roster again this year, and they brought in Darnold, and it's very clear that Darnold is a starter over Mullins. So they must like him over Mullins. And Mullins was the guy who kept us in games towards the end of those, and probably lost a few of the games with his interceptions. But still, the fact that he's still the backup – makes me believe that the Vikings can be that also, the plus or minus, 500. So I would say I would put it in the same order that the viewer said. Okay. Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings.
So our Vikings super fans, Dan Iverson and Brian Highfield, boys, we just want to say thank you so much for coming on to the Bear Down Chicago podcast, hanging out with us. It'll be interesting to talk smack as the season rolls on and see – yes. If your optimism holds past, I'd say week 5, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, again, you gotta remember what optimism is here. I mean, optimism is it's on a curved scale here.
That's right.
I don't think either of us are coming here saying, hey, we're gonna win the division and go straight to the Super Bowl. But at the same time, it's always fun to see when your organization has a plan, and they're working the plan. it's hard to argue with that.
Boys, thanks so much for being on the show. We appreciate you both very, very much.
Thank you.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Thank you.
Take care, guys. That was a lot of optimism that I was not expecting from our Vikings. I mean, I mean this, like, everybody's optimistic right now. Bears fans are the most optimistic they've been in a long time. I could see the kind of wheels falling off in Minnesota. But I've said that before, and Brian said, watch this, and he was right and I was wrong. So I don't know. What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, you are right. I think most folks around the NFC North think they are going to be worse than our guests stated. Now, the thing that I do think is they are not in a complete rebuild. You know, I mean, they're not tear down the roster like 3 years ago Bears, where you would see that they would be like, you know, under five wins or something like that. I think to the guys' point, you know, in terms of like their defensive unit, their coach, and the talent on the field, they have improved, and they were a pretty good defense last year as well. Also, in terms of their skill positions, and as I mentioned, outside those concerns on the offensive line, the biggest change is Cousins. So it's going to be extremely interesting to watch, because if they've built enough of a foundation around, you know, that team at all the other positions, then I guess I could see where the guys might end up being right in the end. The thing that I guess I am seeing, just because we have seen it so often, is Darnold gets hurt. Darnold flashes maybe a bit, but then Darnold sucks, you know, and Dan has been very effusive about not wanting to play the rookie. And I tend to agree with him on that regard, but then what's the choice? I guess then you go to Mullins again, who I believe, you know, they said, you know, if you're a lot of picks. So I guess you said wheels coming off. I see a path to that too. It could be steady Eddie, like they've been, you know, because I think structurally, organizationally, they are much improved. Damn it, all the teams in the division are much improved organizationally. So yeah, interesting.
Brian Flores, I mean, that guy knows defense, and you know, I think that given the pieces that he had last year, did they improve there? I mean, because no one's going to doubt like that guy as a coach. And then on the other side of the football, KOC, like he's a good offensive mind, right? Like it's so odd for me to sit here right now and say that the NFC North is so good. I know, like Dan said, it's not a hot take, but it's just, I mean, this division was the Packers and trash for forever, right? And to think that the Lions are clearly sitting atop, right, is still taking some getting used to. But I don't know, man. I just, it's one of those things where I'm trying to really check myself. Am I, what we talked about in the last episode when we all said the Seattle Seahawks were going to be trash after the Bears beat them, you know, in the preseason, and then they go on to a playoff run and the Bears had what, three wins, right? And so, or is this like, hey, look, Sam Darnold is not a good guy. Maybe they're not in a total rebuild, but this is not going to be a very good football team. I can't decide. I don't know.
It'll be tough and fun to watch. The thing I try to keep reminding myself with our Bears is just that they've not done anything yet. You know, as much as I think we have all enjoyed the process and progress of this rebuild and see some excellent and tangible ways in which this franchise has improved, the bottom line is we've not seen it on the field come to fruition. And I think we talked about this a couple of shows back. I mean, the tears in your eye moment will be when and if the Bears are able to, like, say, for instance, on offense, be on the same level as a LaFleur's offense, or be on the same level of a San Fran offense when it comes to not only, you know, strategy, but in-game play calling and then actual execution on the field. Like, let's just be real for a minute. That's not happened in Chicago in a long, long time. And so for that to happen, it surely will be amazing, but it's not happened yet. And it really is a wait and see when it comes to the Bears, because there's a world, and we've seen it before, where that doesn't come to fruition. I think there are a lot of elements that lead towards it possibly coming to fruition for the first time. But we all know the planets have to align to be that good anywhere on the field on an NFL Sunday.
The LaFleur thing is something that I've been thinking a lot about. Jordan Love had a phenomenal year, which breaks my heart, right? Green Bay can't have another good quarterback, But I do wonder, I'm just thinking a little bit about what Matt said, you know, talking about Jared Goff being in the perfect fit. I don't think there's a lot of other places Jordan Love to have grown up essentially in the NFL under Matt LaFleur's tutelage. That guy is one of the best play callers, exploits defenses in ways that many other people can't. And I still don't think he's got a great roster. Like I know some people are really high on Green Bay's receivers, and our next podcast, when we're going to go around the NFC North against Green Bay, you know, I think they'll say that they've got good receivers. I don't think they're that special. I just think that their coach continually puts them in the absolute best position. And I think he's done that with Jordan Love. And I think Jordan Love could be good somewhere else, but I don't think he's this good anywhere else other than Green Bay.
I mean, I couldn't refute a single thing you said there, Artie. I mean, honestly, like, yeah, in terms of a coach who is skilled at putting players in a position to be successful, I mean, there are some greats around the league, but he's certainly in that conversation because their wide receivers are kind of, well, I just won't say no names, but I mean, they weren't household names, and they just absolutely excelled last year.
Let's talk NFC North. We're going to do this a lot, especially leading up to it. Right now, today, so July 9th, where do you kind of see the NFC North falling? You don't have to give me win totals, just who's at the top, who's at the bottom?
Yeah, I've gone, you know, Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings from the start. And I feel like every year there's a chance that the Bears will take one game from the Vikings, you know. So, I feel like Green Bay, I'm going to give both games to Green Bay. I've said all along, until we actually see the Bears beat Green Bay, the Packers just have the Bears' number. My hope is that that is something that will change this year. I like how we played Detroit last year. You know, I mean, well, at least one of the times. And I think, you know, especially the way that the defense played last year, you know, so it's so much hinges on Caleb, I think, to some extent, but man, it's going to be, I know we've said this a lot, but I can't remember a time in which the division stacked up in a way that makes it so anticipatory excitement. Yeah. Like just, I think it is on paper going to be a tremendous amount of fun to watch, not just the Bears play, but all of the, you know, interdivisional games.
There's always a team that no one expects, yep, and they win a lot of games. And there's a team that everyone expects to be great and they're not. Can we just hope that the latter is Green Bay in some way, shape, or form, that they just suck? Like, I want to see an embarrassingly bad season from them for once, right? Because I haven't seen that since, what was it, 04, 05, whatever it was, that they were just terrible. Yeah. Jack, this has been a phenomenal podcast. It's been a long episode. I want to get to shout-outs. Any shout-outs that you'd like to give before we get out of here, my friend?
You know, I just shout out our guests. I'm just very I feel like we've talked about this before, but we're fortunate to have people, you know, around the league that are not only just good dudes and good girls, but also like extremely knowledgeable. And I know I've said that quite a bit this particular show, but we place a high value on that. You know, we always talk a little bit about how it's one thing to just like to kind of be, you know, a marginal fan and just have knee-jerk reactions. It's another thing to know, you know, like, you know, the guys are like spouting off positional players that probably most people don't know if they're casual fans. And to me, that's always an impressive thing. And so we just really love the knowledge, you know? And so I'll just shout out Dan and Brian and Matt. Thank you so much for being on the show, guys.
We're lucky to have such good friends that know their stuff on the other sides of the ball or on the other teams rather. And I'll just say, dude, like Paul Noonan, the guy that we have that's going to be coming on to talk Green Bay, he was on the Roar of the Lions show. We stole him. He's so good. I've had some good interactions with some of the people that we've had, like Packers people, but I don't think any of them have gotten close to how good Paul is. And I am like elated to talk to him. So folks, make sure you check in that one 2 weeks time. It's out there in the ether. You'll see it. My shout out goes to, and I thought about, there's a lot of people that deserve shout outs, but a personal shout out is going to go to my guy, Noel Dowling. Now, Noel is formerly with the Irish Bear Show, and now he's with the Irish NFL Show. He just did an episode with David Haw on the Take the North podcast. Jack, it was so freaking good. And it's one of those, like, Noel's kind of a quieter guy, and just to see him like grow into this just rock star of covering the NFL in all different angles. And it's just, it's fun to watch your friends succeed at what they do. And he's done such a phenomenal job with it. So Noel, man, I love what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. You're so damn good at it. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. So that is Brendan Chagrou, Patrick Sheldon, Logan Bradley, Jack Wright, Cam Ellis. Did I forget anybody? Because the one time I forgot it, Brendan will never let me forget anybody.
I think you got everybody.
And myself, Ryan Dangle. Folks, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Especially if you're new, hit like, hit subscribe, follow us, whatever it's going to take. We know you can get your Bears content anywhere. You've chosen to hang out with us, and that means more than any of us can say. We're going to keep bringing on really cool friends because we're very lucky to have some really smart people. But please check us out wherever you get your podcasts, whether it be YouTube or audio only. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, we just want to say thank you so much one more time. And as always, folks, Bear Down Chicago.